Welcome to Reading the Book of Mormon with Ryan. Why, hello.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. And for all of those listening in, thank you for coming back. We'll be listening to my good friend, Jensen Clifford.
Hello, hello.
Yes, yes, yes. And Jensen, you are a comedian?
I am.
Wonderful. I'm a comedian. And you live in?
Brooklyn, New York.
Lovely. And where do you fall on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints activation scale?
Currently, I am inactive. I'm inactive from the church at the moment.
Yes, yes, yes. And where do you fall on the LGBT QAI spectrum?
I am very gay.
Oh, kindred spirits.
It's a medical condition.
It is not a medical condition. It is lovely. I love being a homosexual.
Same.
And my last comment about you at this point is that you are just the singlest and ready to be the mingliest.
Exactly. Exactly. Singlest person I've ever met.
Oh, I love that journey for you.
Thank you.
Are you ready to take this journey?
I'm ready. I'm ready
the
for this journey.
The first book of Nephi, chapter one.
From the top.
Okay. So it's your episode. So you go first.
Here we go. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father, and having seen many afflictions in the course of my days, nevertheless, having been highly favored in the Lord in all my days, yea, having had great knowledge of the goodness and the mystery of God, therefore I make a record of my proceedings in my days. Yea, I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. And I know that for record which I make is true, and I make with mine own hand, and I make it according to my knowledge. For it came to pass in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Lehi having dwelt at Jerusalem in all his days. And in that same year, there came many prophets prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or the great city of Jerusalem must be destroyed. Wherefore it came to pass that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, in behalf of the people.
And it came to pass that as he prayed unto the Lord, there came a pillar of fire and dwelt upon a rock before him. And he saw and heard much, and because of the things which he saw and heard, he did quake and tremble exceedingly. And it came to pass that he returned to his own house at Jerusalem, and he cast himself unto his bed, being overcome with the Spirit and the things which he had seen. And being thus overcome with the Spirit, he was carried away in a vision, even that he saw the heavens open, and he thought he saw God sitting upon his throne, surrounded by numerous concourses of angels, in the attitude of singing and praising their God. And it came to pass that he saw one descending out of the midst of heaven, and he beheld that his luster was above that of the sun at noonday. And he also saw 12 others following him, and their brightness did exceed that of the stars in the firmament.
And they came down and went forth upon the face of the earth, and the first came and stood before my father, and gave unto him a book, and bade him that he should read. And it came to pass that as he read, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And he reading, saying, Woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen thine abominations. Yea, and many things did my father read concerning Jerusalem, that it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof. Many would perish by the sword, and many should be carried away captive into Babylon. And it came to pass that when my father had read and seen many great and marvelous things, he did exclaim many things unto the Lord, such as, Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty. Thy throne is high in the heavens, and thy power and goodness and mercy are over all the inhabitants of the earth. And because thou art merciful, thou wilt not suffer those who come unto thee, and they shall perish. And after this manner was the language of my father in his praising, in the praising of his God. For his soul did rejoice, and his whole heart was filled because of the things which he had seen, yea, which the Lord had shown unto him.
And now I, Nephi, do not make a full account of these things which my father had written, for he hath written many things which he saw in visions and in dreams, and he also hath written many things which he prophesied and spake unto his children, of which I shall not make a full account. Pardon me. But I shall make an account of my proceedings in my days. Behold, I make an abridgment of the record of my father upon plates which I have made with mine own hand. Wherefore, after I have abridged the records of my father, then will I make an account of mine own life. Therefore, I would that ye should know that after the Lord hath shown so many marvelous things unto my father, Lehi, yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and to declare unto them concerning the things which he hath both seen and heard. And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him because of the things which he testified of them, and he truly testified of their wickedness and their abominations, and testified that the things which he saw and heard, and also the things which he read in the book, manifested plainly of the coming of a Messiah, and also the redemption of the world. And when the Jews heard these things, they were angry with him, yea, even as with the prophets of old, whom they had cast out and stoned and slain, and also sought his life, and they might take it away. But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are all over those whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. All right, so what jumps out to you?
That's a lot of words. That's a whole lot of words.
To me, the first thing that jumps out to me, I'm gonna tell you this.
Okay.
It really makes me laugh. It makes me giggle a little bit. Where is it? And he carried away, let's see, being overcome with the spirit. Okay, he cast himself upon his bed. All I can picture is like a
full Disney princess.
Like, oh my goodness, I'm breaking down. It's like Breakdown Palace. And it's like, oh, so it's in the Book of Mormon before any 14-year-old girl ever thought to do that.
Yeah. So, everybody thrusts themselves upon their bed.
I mean, like, but I just love the visual of just like, why have I never caught that before?
Yeah.
And another thing that I love is the going around and being like, you bad. All you people be bad.
That's the thing. It's very similar to Noah. It's very similar to the story of Noah. So, like, Lehi was running around and being like, hey, guys, we really need to get our act together or else, like, the Lord will smite us. And everyone's like, hard pass. Which is so similar to Noah, where he was like, guys, we gotta get our act together. And everyone was like, bye. Have fun on your boat, silly.
Ugh. Like, I don't feel like getting on a boat. I'm just gonna do fine at what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, okay, so full disclosure, I have read 1 Nephi chapter 1 probably 1,000 times. Because we're always trying to be like, I'm going to start the Book of Mormon. So we start, like, you know, the joke is like, you can't get through 2 Nephi. But like, seriously, I think everyone has read this so many times. But I didn't realize, I don't know, I've just now clued in for the first time, like today when I was studying for it and now, that a lot of it's a recounting of a dream that Lehi had.
No. It's fully like, cool.
So here's everything that my father went through, and here's what he saw. Starting in 8, overcome with the spirit, he carried away with the visions that even he saw the heavens open and saw God coming to his throne, surrounded by numberless concourses of angels. So he just keeps on talking about his father's experiences so far. So Nephi's writing being like, here, hey guys, before I get started with my story, here's a little background on my dad.
Yes, but also it's a recount of like, so this is my dad's dream. This is my dad's life. This is who my dad is. This is what he's like. This is what he's listening to on his Spotify. This is like, this is who my dad is. I feel like if it was more modern day, he'd be like, and this is what the podcast he listens to. Exactly. And this is where he gets his lunch and he makes sure he gets his steps in for the day. Uh-huh. And like, I really like that. There's some things to me that like jumped out to me when I was reading this to prepare for this was that, the idea of where he's like, I'm fighting for this. This is what I saw. God showed me this. I'm telling you all, hey, check this out. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a lot of like what advocates do for us in our community is like, hey, everybody, check this out.
Yeah.
So I really liked how that was
like,
here.
Like Nephi is very much an advocate for his father in this.
Yes, but I also like how his father is an advocate for righteousness.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like his dad's kind of like that, like, if God had said, hey, I want you to fight for gay rights, he would have been a gay rights activist.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that word so hard for me to say? Activist?
Our advocate.
Or advocate. That's what I was trying to say. Oh, I'm so dumb.
It's okay.
Oh, I feel like this podcast is just going to just show the world how stupid I really am. And it's going to be like, oh, Ryan can barely read, but he is dumb as a brick. He's
dumb as a brick, honey.
All right. So what else stands out to you so far?
I mean, just the way that they start. He's like, okay, guys, full background. Born of goodly parents. They're great. My parents are, you know, they're awesome. They've had afflictions. Nevertheless, highly favored in the Lord. I love that his relationship to the Lord is so strong that he's like, oh no, the Lord favors us. He has no problem. So often we're always like, oh, I'm not that cute. Or, oh, I'm not that powerful. Or, oh no, my job's not that good. Oh, my job. Nephi's like, no, I am highly favored in the Lord. Like
girl, I got it. Girl, I got Jesus this. Loves me.
She loves me. We're here. All is well. Highly favored. And his father's highly favored. And
I like that it's like a humble brag.
It is a humble. Oh, absolutely.
It's a definite humble brag.
It's a super humble brag.
But
it's like a humbleness of a super brag. Because like if anyone's going to favor you, like, hello, the Lord.
Do you know one thing I am jealous of Nephi mm-hmm. is? In verse 2, he talks about the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. I want to learn Hebrew so bad just so I can communicate with my in-laws.
Ugh. Well, what's fascinating, so he says, I make the record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians, which are two different languages. But also, the learning of the Jews, does that mean the, like, biblical text, the Torah, the Old Testament, the learning of the Jews at that time being both the religious aspect? So it's like, he's like, hey guys, Jewish background here. Like, I have the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. Like, I find that fascinating.
I never thought about that. But also, like, what does that mean? Like, I'm not that bright, and I think that's a question that's like just way too deep for me. Like, that's like one of those like questions where it's like, that's a really good question, but I am not I'm not a scripture scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm somebody that I'm like, I've read the Book of Mormon through probably 3 times in my life, and yeah. I'm 36 now. Mm-hmm. I'll be 37 by the time this episode comes out.
Great.
But I've read, and this podcast, I'm going to go through the entire Book of Mormon.
Uh-huh.
And like, I've read so far, every time I've prepared for a, one of these episodes, like I've read it, the chapter at least 3 times or the section at least 3 times prior yeah. to, so that way I have things to say and things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I like this as an introduction, like, hello, my name is. Yeah. Like, just, you know, quick background on me. Yeah. And, like, this is...
It's a quick intro.
Like, here, hi, this is my friend Jensen Clifford, and he's from New York, and he's a comedian. Like, this is his, like, hi, hello, mm-hmm. I am.
Yeah.
Because you get the hi, hello, my name is Nephi, I'm from Jerusalem. I'm not going to tell you my occupation. My parents are good to me. God is good to me. Here's a little bit about my dad, so you can understand me a little bit better. But check it out.
Yeah.
You know what? But one thing I really... Like, I read through here, there's no real mention of, like, by the way, I am number so-and-so of so many kids.
That's, yeah.
So, yeah.
We haven't gotten to the family yet.
No.
Because I wanted to bring him up, and I was like, wait, I can't talk about that yet, because we haven't
gotten
there. It's
his dad and his God.
Yeah, that's it. There's 3 characters so far.
Later's everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's that, just those two relationships mm-hmm. that are important. Like, his mom's not really mentioned,
yeah.
And then there's, like, a brief allusion mm-hmm. to the 12 apostles. And yeah. that's about it for me.
Yeah.
One
thing also, so though Nephi, like, humble brags of, like, highly favored in the Lord, In verse 3, he says, "And I know that the record which I make is true." Bold. "But I make it with my own hand, and I make it according to my knowledge." And so I find that absolutely fascinating that he is like, what I'm saying is, like, I am giving you the truth the best way that I know how. Please keep in mind, I'm doing it according to my own hand and my own knowledge. So he's very much interpreting, like, whatever is being said is going through his interpretation of his mind. Like, he's describing it the best way that he can, or that his writing abilities allow him to do.
Well, I think that's really great, too, is that he talks about it in that way, kind of like how Elijah did, about mm-hmm. where he's like, I see these things carrying people through the sky.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. I don't know what they are, and they're like the belly of a beast that looks like a bird. And it's like,
yeah.
Dude, you saw planes.
But yeah.
I got it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, he's recording it in his hand, the best way he knows how, and yeah. I mean,
but also
like,
very similar to Joseph Smith, who was transcribing it at the time, was like, as it was known in the Mormon world, of like, he had a third grade education. He's doing the best that he can with the knowledge that he has with his what he has. And so I think it's similar, very, very fascinating that Nephi is also similarly in that way of like, here's what I have. I'm giving you the best way that I know how to tell the story. Like, his job is to tell the story. Here's the best way that I can tell it. I don't know. I find that fascinating.
Okay. So one thing that I do have marked in my own personal scriptures uh-huh. is chapter 1, verse 20.
Okay.
Towards the end of the thing where it says, "Behold unto I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are all over all those who hath chosen because of their faith." And I like the idea that, like, you get blessed for your faith, but I really like... I forget who, somebody once told me something about, like, your faith is an individual thing, mm-hmm. and your blessings are an individual things, and sometimes what looks like blessings to some people are actually curses to other people.
Ooh.
So, yeah, uh-huh, girl, yes, mm-hmm. please. So, fair. I really like that, so, because, I forget who that is, and if you are listening to this and you know who said that, please let me know.
Right, call me now.
Call in
standing
now.
By.
We're standing. Operators are standing by, ready to take your calls. No, but you could email us at emails at the end of the podcast, and our Twitter and everything is at the end of the podcast. But I really like the idea that Nephi is fully aware that, like, hey, I've got blessings, and it's because I was faithful.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he's saying that.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, he's about to go into the rest of the first book of Nephi to be like, and this is why I say I am favored of the Lord. And mm-hmm. this is why I say I am faithful. And this is why, like, he's about to explain the why. Right now, he's just like, hey, everybody, this is who and where I am. And everyone's like, girl, what you talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's a good little, like, tell me more.
It is. It is. It's a great intro. It's a great intro to be like, hi, here's enough information to want to make you turn to chapter 2. Like, it's one of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But I also, because he goes from like, here's me, here's my dad. My dad has awesome visions and dreams from the Lord, and here's one of them about, like, the pillar of fire. And he's seeing, like, 12 apostles. Like, he's, like, seeing Christ coming. Like, it's allusion to Christ coming one day. He's fully seeing that. And I think it's pretty amazing to be like, the intro is going to give you a little drama, a little mystery, a little story, and before it, like, kicks off into the family of Nephi.
If someone with taste and knows how to write a script mm-hmm. should write a movie about this, not the one that's currently out there, because that's terrible. And anyone that made that movie should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm so sorry.
But, I mean, like, I feel like this is giving, like, Hollywood drama in the best possible way. Like, ooh, gives me that ooh-ah-ah sensation.
Yeah, ooh-ah-ah sensation.
Yeah. All right. So, I think that's what stood out to me so far.
Okay.
So far in this section of chapter 1. All right?
All right.
All right. So, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of Mr. Jensen Clifford, the comedian. Welcome back!
And we're back.
Oh. And we're back. Welcome back to Reading the Book of Mormon with Ryan. Mm-hmm. So if you're just tuning in, we are reading the Book of Mormon with Ryan, and today we are reading it with Jensen Clifford. Clifford.
Hello.
So now we're going to talk about how we're reading chapter 1 of 1st Nephi, and we are going to see how this all applies to Mr. Clifford.
Well, for me, like, I love that he's genuinely proud of his parents. Okay, so, full disclosure. Today, the day that we're recording this, my dad was set apart to be a bishop today.
Yes, and that was a lovely confusion for you and your family.
It was a lovely confusion via phones and who can hear what, and I'm trying to record, and we're trying to call people. Like, it was a whole thing. It was like a whole thing. My mom's going to call later, and we're all going to have a great conversation about it. But I love that he starts being like, the first word, I, Nephi, so he's like,
Me.
Having been born of goodly parents, immediately being like, Mom and Dad are awesome. Therefore, I was taught somewhat in the learning of my father. I think the learning of the father means, like, in the religion or in the tradition or...
Because, like, that time, I correct me if I'm wrong. Uh-huh. I mean, like, from what we learned in seminary.
Yes.
And what I've also learned through history is that at this time in history, it's not like you go out and find a new occupation.
Yeah, no.
You would follow the footsteps of your father. Like, if your dad was a carpenter, well, guess what? You're a carpenter.
Exactly.
Oh, your dad was a fisherman? You're a fisherman. Your dad was a murderer? You're not going to follow those footsteps. You're going to do something else.
No, because my father's a goodly
yes,
parents.
You got goodly parents.
Yeah, so he had been raised in the tradition of his father. Having seen many afflictions in the course of my days. So he's like, I've been through some stuff. I've seen it all. Nevertheless, having been highly favored in the Lord in all of my days. So the Lord, just because, like, it's comforting to know that, like, Nephi, who is held up in the LDS canon as, like, the guy, right?
Yes.
He is the end-all be-all. He is the superhero. He is Nephi. Hear him roar. He has gone through plenty of afflictions in his life. He's like, girl, I've seen it. I've seen it all, but I'm still highly favored in the eyes of the Lord. Like, to know that, like, even though you are highly favored, you're still going to go through some afflictions. You're still going to go through some life. Like, I love that. I love that about that. So yeah, he's like, I have great parents, and listen, we're going to go through it, even though we are highly favored in the Lord. And he's like, and I'm going to write everything down. I'm going to start making a record of the proceedings of what's going on. Yeah, so I really like that a lot. And then we kind of go right into, like, we learn about the tradition sort of where they are. And then when he starts talking about he starts talking about the pillar of fire and the father having, here we go.
Can
six.
I go, can't, okay, please. I'm going to say this about the pillar of fire.
Please.
I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Okay, good.
Of course, like, it's the metaphor of it all. And again, yeah. It's Nephi talking through his own understanding. So we have, like...
Yeah, but, like, yeah. Got it. It's like me talking to Star about, like, ugh, and the assemblage of this garment was so stellar, and the stoicness of it, and, mm-hmm. like, it was not a nice, soft, you know, iridescent blue. Like,
yeah.
If you don't understand some of those words, you're going to be like, what is he talking
about? What's iridescent mean?
This is a nutbag.
Yeah. And it came to pass as he prayed unto the Lord, and there came a pillar of fire and dwelt upon a rock before him. Now, I believe... Wait, let me go back into this. I think in 4 or 5 that my father Lehi went forth and prayed to the Lord. Wait, number 4. Zedekiah the king must repent, the city of Jerusalem, or be destroyed. But, like, it says it's a dream. Yes or no? Hold on. Lehi having dwelt in Jerusalem all of his days. And in that ye...
No. He says it's a dream because, remember, his dad throws himself on the bed like a 14-year-old girl.
Right.
In 8, I think. Wait a second.
In 8.
Spirit, and he was carried away in a vision. 8. So
eight,
in 7, he's a 14-year-old. It's like, oh, my dad acted like a 14-year-old girl, and then my dad had a vision.
And he saw and heard much because of the things which he had saw and heard. He quake and tremble exceedingly. But the pillar of fire, according to this, is literal. And it came to pass that he prayed unto the Lord. There came a pillar of fire and dwelt in a rock before him. And he saw and heard much. And because of these things which he saw and heard, he did quake and tremble exceedingly. So he sees and hears and he freaks out.
I still don't get
whether that pillar of fire is a literal pillar of fire or a whole bunch of knowledge being thrown upon him by the Lord. Or the Lord being like, hey, pay attention to all of this. Like, the Lord's giving him so much. Like, I'm tying this in. Hold on. You're going to be real impressed. The Lord sometimes gives us a whole bunch of stuff. Here's all of the understanding. Here's a pillar of fire, and here, and it's going into a big old rock. And we, the only thing we can do sometimes when we're giving, when we're been given so much in our life, is to throw ourselves on the bed like a 14-year-old girl.
Ugh, I love throwing myself on a bed when I am overwhelmed.
But he is. He's like, I'm overwhelmed. I've had it. Goodbye. And then he has the dream. And I think that the dream is where everything is then explained to him.
Ugh. I wish I had, when, I wish that when I would throw myself on the bed and like I was having a rough day, that God would be like, and this is why these things are good. Most of the time, I'm just like, I'm going to order a pizza and watch Schitt's Creek.
Exactly. Ugh. Yeah. Like he like gets a little bit of, I one time took a workshop and they called it fear-colepsy. Where it's like, it's time to be creative. And my body is like, oh, I'm going to take a nap. That's a lot right now. Like, this could be a touch of fear-colepsy where you're, like, afraid that you're going to do a bad job. And so you just, it kind of puts you to sleep a little bit.
Yikes.
Like, do you have that at all in your creative fields?
So, no. So, okay. When I get, what is it? So, like, I do a lot of art projects. Like, right now I'm working on one. And I get over anxiety. And then I start, like, scared to work on a project. Like I showed you that I'm working on a show in December that's going to be in LA. And I've been showing you some of the pieces that I've been working on, but I get so overwhelmed. Like I have the whole show mapped out, but I personally get so overwhelmed that like today I didn't work on a single piece. Oh, I had plenty of time.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, oh, what did I do? I completely wasted that time.
Yeah.
But I mean, like,
I very much do the same thing when it comes to my writing. Like, writing and stand-up and jokes. Like, when I sit down, if I intentionally sit down and was like, I'm going to write for a half an hour and da-da-da-da, I either nothing will come to my, like, nothing will come to my brain and I'll get very frustrated. Or I'll literally have to take a nap. Because it's like, oh, this is so much happening. And I think that's kind of what he's going through a little bit.
I think so too.
Is a little bit of like, not creative overload, but just like overload in general that he's like, I have to take a nap. This is too much.
Okay. I can relate to that then. Yeah. I can definitely like, relate to that.
This is too much. I'm going to fling myself upon a bed. And that's when like the dream comes to him that I think the Lord was like, oh, I did give you a lot. Here, I'm going to give it to you in a dream that might make a little more sense for you. Ready, set, go.
It's like the Lord knows who we are.
It's like the Lord knows who we are and gives it us things that, that way we can, like, interpret them. Like, I hope to come back later for Ether 2. I'm gonna, like, skip a little bit. Because for me, in Ether 2, which is the, like, was when them when they're the Jaredites are traveling, the brother of Jared, they're traveling, and they have to get into the boats that are tied into a dish. And the Lord... this is how the Lord talks to Lehi. The Lord says, Lehi, here's a bunch of stuff. Lehi goes, I gotta take a nap. He's like, good, I need you to take that nap, because now I gotta give you a dream.
But it's personal revelation as well.
Which is a form of personal revelation, absolutely. But like when Brother Jared then goes to the Lord and is like, Lord, I need this taken care of. And the Lord's like, okay, do it like this. That's how the Brother Jared understands it versus how Lehi understands things. Like everybody understands things in their own way. And the Lord can be as beautiful and as painted or as plain and frank as he needs to be.
Oh,
That person to understand.
Oh, I 100% agree to that. Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree to that. Because I feel like Heavenly Father gives us each, like, he's like, I know you, and I know this is how you're going to react to this. Mm-hmm. So, this is the revelation you need. This is the sentiment you need. This is the, the thoughts and feelings you need to confirm that what you're going to do is correct.
Exactly.
So, like, for me, when I was talking about getting married, I was like, do we break up or do I keep dating? What do I do? And what the Lord did was, you feel like this is off balance, so I'm going to smash his finger so that you feel like your emotional contributions to this relationship are actually valid. My poor husband's finger is still just like a little wonky up at the end. Aww. If you look at it, just look at it.
Yeah.
But it's a little wonky. And to me, every time I look at it, it makes me smile because it's one of those things where it's like an Ebenezer of like, God giving me my own personal little, like, revelation that...
Like, here's your sign of, like, this is how it's going to get taken care of.
And this is why he's so important to me.
Yeah. I know for me, the Lord speaks... He speaks to me in the way I need to hear it that day. And sometimes it is a little metaphorical and it's a little, like, out there because my brain can handle that. And some days it's also very frank and very, like, to the point.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's days where it's like, okay, Lord, you're not telling me anything. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move, like, for me, moving to New York City. I remember praying about it and being like, should I move to New York? What am I doing with my life and career? What do I need to do? And I remember not really getting any kind of answer at all. And I remember praying and saying, okay, Lord, here's the thing. I'm going to move to New York. Like, I made the decision. I'm moving to New York. If I am not supposed to go, you need to make this overwhelmingly clear that I should not move to New York. And after making that decision, within a week, I had a job, a plane ticket, and a place to live that fell into my lap.
That...
And I was like, and which to me is the confirmation of the Lord being like, yes, you should be going.
Yes, and I like how the Lord, like, looks at us and says, hey, no, or yes, or...
Yeah.
Crickets, crickets, crickets.
Exactly.
Crickets.
Or crickets, crickets. You make up your own mind, and I'll let you know whether or not you're right or wrong.
Sometimes when he trusts us, it scares me.
Have you ever been like, I'm going to go out and do something that I probably shouldn't do? And then, like, the subway, it's like 25 minutes to the next train.
Yes!
And then it's, like, raining. And then there's, like, a dog barking at you in a really mean way. And there's, like, a crazy homeless person. And you're like, oh my gosh, wait. So this is telling you that I shouldn't do this.
This is particularly talking to those people who live in New York City. Mm-hmm. Because we both live in New York City. And these are things that we, like, experience on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But it seems very direct when, like, you're like, I'm going to go do this thing.
Yeah, and then everything around, like, the Lord, like, makes the entire universe go chaotic around you to be like, okay, fine, I'm not gonna go.
But then, like, 2 weeks later, you were like, I'm gonna do this thing. And it was like, you get to the subway station as you walk down the stairs, and it's like, ba-ching! And the doors to a subway open that's completely empty, and it doesn't smell like poop, or the air conditioning is turned off, and there's not a homeless person in there, and you're like, what is this? You're And they're like, we're going to go to Express past 2 stops. So you get there even faster. And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
But then, like, 2 weeks later, they're like, you get there and you're like, 35 minutes till the next train. And then all of a sudden it goes from 35 minutes to delay.
To delay. And you're like, you know what? I'll walk.
I'm going to go home and order, like, a pizza.
Exactly. But what I learned, like, from here, the Lord speaks to us how we need to be spoken to. Yeah. How we will best understand in our own knowledge. Mm-hmm. Kind of always tying it back to, like, in our own knowledge. Nephi's doing the best he can with his own knowledge. You all do the best you can with your own knowledge. Which I love. I really do love about that.
It's really beautiful.
It is. It is. It's beautiful to be like, the Lord can understand us in every way. Like, he's the perfect communicator for that.
Ugh, I wish I was good at communicating.
You're pretty good.
Ask my husband if I'm good at communicating. Yes.
So getting this, so now Lehi has all this knowledge, and so Lehi has all the knowledge, and now he's, like, running around town being like, guys, we gotta get it together, or else we're all gonna be, like, destroyed quickly.
It's like he's advocating for something.
It's like he's advocating for, like, he knows his truth inside of him. He's like, what I've experienced is the truest thing I've ever seen in my life. Pillar of fire in a rock, and the dream about, like, the ascension of one followed by 12 others. Like, I have seen the light, and I need you guys to come with me on this journey. And everyone's like, cool, thanks, Lehi.
Again. Thanks, but no thanks.
Thanks, but no thanks. We are gonna, you know, thank you next.
There's a Sarah McLachlan concert this way, and I'm not gonna be able to help. I'd love to, but I can't. I'd love to,
but I have to go hear her sing Arms of the Angel.
There's a ASPCA commercial that they're going to be filming, so I need to go look at Sad Dogs. Sorry, Lehi.
Sorry, Lehi. Sorry about it. Not going to be able to make it. He's working so hard. He truly is. He's like, no, guys, really, I need you to listen. And because Nephi is raised in the knowledge of his father, he's going to take after. Like, this is a trait that he, like, looks up to and is going to go after. you know. Mm-hmm. He's going to spread the good word.
Okay.
No matter what, which I love. Like, he's like, well, this is what I do. This is how, because that's how the society runs. Like, you do what your father did. And so on and so forth. Yeah. So, in 17, Nephi says, I shall make an account of all my proceedings in my days. Behold, I'll make an abridgment of the record of my father upon plates, which I have made with mine own hands. Wherefore, I have abridged these records of my father. Then will I make an account of mine own life. He has up and decided to just write this, which I love. I'm sure the Lord has asked him to in some way, shape, or form, but there was never a direct, like, Nephi was chosen to write this. Nephi just kind of started writing. Hey guys, here's my life. I'm going to start writing it down. He's like the first vlogger. He's like the first, like, he is making this record of his life and these things that happened to him, because he's like, it's going to be, the world needs to know about our society for the millennia to come. Like, for forever. For decades upon decades upon decades. Hundreds of years to come. And he just started writing, which I love. I wonder what the conversation was with his parents. Like, because he didn't just write it. He had to make pages. He had to find gold, make it out into the golden plates, put them golden plates, you know, fit it all together, and he started scribbling down on the plates.
I mean, like, that's a lot of work. And
a lot of work.
So, what I also like about this is that he's talking about his father, and he's like, here's a real quick summary of my dad.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not
very much the cliff notes.
Oh, the cliffiest of cliff notes. Like, tell us about your dad. Well, he did this, and he did this.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So he is really kind of like living that, like, just real really simple explanation of, uh-huh, like, this is my dad. I mean, like, I think most of us, when people ask about our parents, we're like, real quickly, this is my parents, but mm-hmm, now let's focus the where you need to focus, and that's chapter 2 through the end of 1 Nephi, and that's me.
Yeah.
So I feel like you'll hear about them because my life does does partain them, but you're mainly going to hear about me.
But he's like, I mean, he's setting up context.
Yes.
He can't just be like, oh, my dad did this. If we didn't know that he has had these revelations from Christ, or from Heavenly Father, if he hadn't have these visions and experienced these spiritual things, we'd just be like, oh, he's gone through a lot. Which I think a lot of people of the town don't fully realize. You know, as people of the town he's going around letting them know, he's like Noah, he's like being like, hey guys, we need to fix this and we need to change that. Not everybody realizes how, all the backstory to that.
Yeah.
And why he's okay doing that. So, like, so often we have to realize, like, not everybody knows our story.
Yeah.
Why we act a certain way is because of everything that led up to it.
Like, so, in a way, we as Mormons, mm-hmm, love a pioneer story.
Yes.
So, I feel like Lehi is the pioneer to Nephi in this contextually here.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it's Nephi being like, so my dad led the way for me, calling back to being in the footsteps of his, uh-huh, father, in the learning of his father. So his dad was probably a religious man. That's probably why he's a religious man.
Exactly.
So it's one of those things of like, this is what my dad did. This is what I'm doing. This is what this is that.
Yeah.
So I think the scripture are really important to us because we can look to what our parents went through.
Yeah.
Now let's move forward. And I think that's what's happening here, mm-hmm, is Nephi. Oh, geez. Why am I so dumb right now? Nephi is like looking to the future into chapter 2.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
All right.
That's really good.
So we're going to take a quick break with Mr. Clifford, and we'll be right back.
Right back.
Oh, so many things to do. Welcome back to Reading the Book of Mormon with Ryan. And if you're just joining us, we are doing chapter 1 of 1 Nephi with Mr. Jensen Clifford.
Hello.
Now, the things we're going to be talking about in this section is how this directly applies to the LGBTQAI community. from our point of view. Remember, these are our points of view and not our doctrine. So just remember that. This is all opinions. And what do you feel like how this applies to us as LGBT people?
I think, so Nephi telling the story of his father, it says in, because he's talking about his dad, gives a touch of background in 4. In chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "My father Lehi, having dwelt at Jerusalem in all his days." Now, so that means he has been born and raised, probably multi-generationally, in this family. Lehi has grown up in this town, got married, had a bunch of kids, has now raised his kids in this town. His kids are, like, of grown age. I always saw Nephi in the, like, 15 to 17-year-old range. And as we find out later, he's the youngest of the kids in his family. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's... So, Lehi's probably in his 40s. 40s or so. He knows everybody in Jerusalem. He's lived in Jerusalem his whole life.
Like, it's one of those, like, cultural things. Like, we... It's small town, but...
It's small town. Like, I grew up in Mesa, Arizona. And, like, I go back now, I still know a lot of people. You go to the grocery store, you know certain people. You go to various places, you know people. I have friends who now teach at my old high school. Like, that kind of thing.
Weird.
So, for... What?
Weird.
It is weird, but also it's like, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But also, you know those people, no matter who you are. And so, for Lehi to experience something so truly revelationary to himself, he experienced this moment with his Heavenly Father. He experienced the most, probably at that time, what was the most spiritual thing in his life. Pillar of fire. I mean, nothing else. Nephi's not going through and be like, here's all the spiritual things he talked about. No, here's the one that stood out the most. The one that caused this man to then run around town and say, guys, I have experienced something. I'm not going to deny it. And I have to tell you about it. And we all have to change our ways or else we're going to go, well, we're out of here.
Well, I kind of, so talking about like how he's testifying about things, what I like to think about that is and how that applies to us as LGBT people is like that we stand up and testify about like the discrimination we have felt and the bigotry we have felt and like how these are un-Christ-like things. And people are like, no. And then like when we talked about the first 3 and 8 visions as like more and more people, especially LGBTQAF people, like we talk about these things and we are trying to be like, we want to be included in this conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's like Lehi standing up for saying like, hey, like this is what the Lord has shown me. And we're as LGBTQAI people are like, this is what the Lord has shown us.
Exactly. Exactly. Because my personal coming out was a spiritual experience. It was a time when it was through a prayer. It was through prayer, and then I feeling after the Lord had said...
Did you throw yourself on a bed like a 14-year-old girl?
I did throw myself on it. It was on my bed. It was in my bedroom.
I believe that's on the Mormon Kate coming out checklist.
Yeah, exactly.
The only way to properly
come out. Only way to properly come out.
To come out as a gay Mormon is you must throw yourself on a bed.
So I came out through prayer is how I really accepted it unto myself. And through that time, like truly, this is the most spiritual experience I've ever had in my life. I remember calling my parents saying, here's what I've experienced. I cannot deny it. And I have to let you know. Lehi running around town telling everybody what he's experienced is him just coming out.
I mean, yeah. It is. I mean, it's, like, think about it. They were, like, threatening his life.
Mm-hmm.
How many gays across the United States and the world are really like, hey, everybody, I'm gay. And they're like, no, thank you. Yeah. No, thank you.
My hard pass.
I believe my husband was telling either you or another one of our friends today about how there was an Iranian singer who somebody was
else.
Just...
What's going on? Yeah.
Was that you?
It wasn't me, but it's
It wasn't
else.
You? Mm-hmm. Oh, it must have been...
It was John.
John? Was that who it was? Okay, anyway. Thank you, baby.
Iranian singer.
So, who was... I think I'm going to tell this wrong, probably because I always miss everything, is that he's... in Iran, he's a popular singer, and it was found out he was just chatting in a gay way with somebody on an app or something. Am I telling that right? Okay, I'm getting a nod yes from my husband. And now he's going to be put to death. And he's only like 15, 17,
oh my gosh.
Something that like that. Yeah. But just chatting.
Yeah.
He's done nothing he's physical. Done nothing.
Yeah.
But he's chatted, and they're like, that's too gay for us. But I like that until Lehi in the sense that, like, Lehi was actively listening to the spirit telling people, hey, this is what's up.
Exactly.
And people are like, no, we don't like this. We're going to kill you. And exactly. I think, like, look around the United States and look how many people are like, hey, I'm gay, I'm trans, I'm bi, I'm asexual, I'm intersex. And people are like, nah, we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's not a thing that's like, oh, that doesn't happen anymore in the United States. I'm like, well, Google it. It does.
Yeah.
So, and if you live in anywhere else in the world, it happens there as well.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. And I find it beautiful that he's running around town, coming out to everyone.
After he's acted like a 14-year-old girl.
But still, he's like this respected man in the community. He knows everybody. So for him to say this, everyone's like, wait, what? Wait, what are you saying? We can't, no. No, 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 no. We only know you as this one person in this one way. And we refuse to believe you in a different way.
That you can't change?
That you
can't change. We don't want you to change.
Exactly.
And I feel like, personally, I feel like there's a lot of people who are like, I think President Nelson's off his rocker and he's gone crazy for some of these changes that he's making with the church. We like the church this way and we like it this way. And these new changes are just too much.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And so it's like, no, this is an ever-evolving thing. Humans are ever-evolving. Humans are going to experience things. Humans are going to have these things and become different people throughout our lives. Truly.
Truly.
Like, we're going to become different people throughout our lives, and that's a really good thing. Like, we need to have that change. And for Lehi, it was this. This was his change that he did. And for his family, for his wife and two of his four sons, we'll get into that later.
That's coming up, folks.
Coming up.
Spoiler alert. Spoilers.
But, like, for them to follow and actually do, be like, you know what? We're here for you. Like, it's so beautiful to see that family do that. Because you don't always see that. To have that family fully accept and be like, we're on board with you.
So, there's this gentleman that I've met at Affirmation, which is a great organization if you are just coming out and you're looking for resources.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful organization.
Affirmation.org.
Yeah, thank you. And we are not sponsored by them, and we do not receive money from them. But we do support them if you're just coming out and you have a family member that just came out and you're looking for resources. And I feel like a lot of First Nephi is a good example of like, hey, do you need to figure out how to treat a gay person? Well, have you read the story of Lehi and Nephi?
Yeah.
Because, spoiler alert, there's a lot of similarities.
There is. There's a lot of like accepting someone for who they are, believing them when they tell you. Like, because so often people are like, I'm gay. And someone's like, no, you're not. Like, no, no I need you to believe me on this one. Like, I'm pretty, let me check. Yep, still gay.
I have a hard time believing you that you're gay because the Lord doesn't want us to be gays.
Exactly.
And then you're like, no, 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 I'm gay.
But it's also beautiful to be like, oh, well, the Lord didn't tell me you're gay. So therefore, like Nephi didn't have this experience. He didn't have the pillar of fire. He's hearing about this from his father, and he's believing his father and saying, you're right. Let's do this. So if the Lord said we need to do something about this, let's do something about this.
So, I mean,
trust
like,
and love there in the best way.
That you're 100% right. 100% right. But also, as you talk about that, I'm like, there's all the parents out there that are like, no, because we didn't, like, have that vision for you.
Exactly.
And you, like, it's a lot more... It's a, like not to discredit parents who are like, no, you're not gay because I didn't have
I didn't raise a gay kid.
Yeah. I didn't raise a gay kid. Because let's be clear, if you are hearing this and that's your experience, guess what? Just because your parents say you're not gay, you're not gay. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. you're gay. You're gay. If that's your truth, if you feel like you're LGBTQAI, you are LGBTQAI. And no matter how much your parents don't want you to be, LGBT, it doesn't change what they want versus what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my parents could want a little Asian boy or a little Asian girl. I'm still a gay white dude.
Yeah. But also, Nephi, I'm sure, had his own, like, thoughts of life. Of like, okay, well, when I grow up, I'm probably gonna do this and that and change this. But then his dad experiences something different. And Nephi, to an extent, kind of had to give up his, like, proposed future. Of like, oh, I'm just going to live in Jerusalem the rest of my life, like my father and his father before him, and so on and so forth.
But I don't think at that time that they were, like, giving up their future. Like, it was like, culturally accepted. Like, oh, when you grow up, this is what you do. Yes. Like, you were born to do this. This is what you were doing. And, like, girls were born to, like, give birth and, like, be a wife.
And for Nephi, so, like, once his father starts running around town and saying, like, hey, guys, we need to change our ways or get out of here, Nephi's probably like, oh, I might have to leave this house. Like,
what's going to happen to me?
Exactly. Like, what's going to happen to me? And so often, like, I've heard parents say, oh, well, we have this proposed, like, future for our child. I'm sure my parents would have loved for me to marry a woman and when I was a kid. Because they're like, oh, of course, he's going to grow up, marry a woman, have a bunch of kids. Like, my parents had to kind of give up that future for me. What they've already had in their head of their expectations. I've changed their expectations. And because of this, now Nephi has to change his expectations of his life. Because his father experienced something life-changing and new. So similarly, like, because I've experienced something life-changing and new, people around me are going to have to change their expectations of what my future will be.
Okay, so we clearly get the idea that, it talks about it towards the end of the chapter about, like, and they threatened my father's life.
Because fully.
New ideas scare in people. The history of ever, people generally don't like.
They're not super into that.
Not super into it. And ideas that are kind of becoming more and more accepted still are not generally liked.
Yeah.
And it's like, how long does
we're still fighting over whether or not that world is round or flat. Like, I mean,
why
really.
Why were you literally taking the words out of my mouth?
Because we all know it's flat.
Really? I thought it was round. I would like to agree to disagree.
I went to Mesa
never
Public
speak
School,
again.
So I don't remember.
You didn't go to school?
Mesa Public Schools, darling. I had the education I had.
I went just to the library because we all know that what? Reading is fundamental.
It's true. It's true. I'm just kidding. The world is round for anybody who blew me for a hot second. But I'm a comedian. I had to make at least one joke.
That was a joke? Ugh, darling.
I never said I was a good comedian.
Oh, thank God. At least you tell the truth.
We'll turn to the tender mercies of the... Oh. So highlight what you literally highlighted.
Yeah, he's holding my scriptures right now, looking at, like, what I've actually highlighted in my scriptures.
Yeah. So you highlighted in 20. It says, behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are all over those whom he hath chosen because of their faith to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. I love that it's like it's your choice. At the end of the day, this is your choice. If you are mighty unto the... If you are full of faith, the Lord will choose you to be one of his chosen.
I know.
And I love that. Like, listen, my dad is doing something totally different. He's experienced something different. He is now a changed person. But because of his faith, he is highly chosen. And because of my faith in both my Heavenly Father and my dad, I am highly chosen. And it's so beautiful to see, like, something changes and the whole family be like, okay, then we're going to take a new road.
For me, I think that's a great example because I look at people around me in the gay community. I feel like Harvey Milk, chosen by the Lord to be, you know, that forward-speaking person. I look at the lesbian couple who sued over DOMA, who got gay rights for marriage. I look at all of these people. I feel like the Lord placed them there as kind of these Lehis for different things to set up so that we could be the Nephis. And I feel like I am very favored of the Lord because I look at my situation of who I'm married to and how I'm married and the ward that I participate in and where I am in my own spiritual journey. And I love that journey for me. You do love that journey for me? I love that journey for me too. Is that I feel like Heavenly Father, like, I might not be the greatest person, but I think Heavenly Father can see that I'm trying really hard. And he can also see that, like, sometimes I've done things to put things in my own path of, like, I'm going to do something really self-destructive.
Yeah.
And I think that Heavenly Father can see that as gay people that some of us are trying really hard and some of us are trying even harder. I'm not the one in the column of trying even harder. That's not me. I'm trying hard. I refer to myself as a garbage person a lot of the time because I'm like, I try, but not that hard.
Yeah. I just think that it's, I just think it's beautiful. I honestly just think it's beautiful of the tender mercies of the Lord. It's kind of like, if you have faith, you will get the tender mercies and be favored in the eyes of the Lord. It's very much an if-then statement to me.
Yeah.
Of like, tender mercies equal having faith.
But I do want to throw this out there as one of my final thoughts is that you can't compare your tender mercies and my tender mercies are the same.
Absolutely because different.
Your trying hard and my trying hard are two different things. So when you see other people getting blessed at different things, do not compare.
No.
Their life is their life. Your life is your life. Your struggles are your struggles. Their struggles are their struggles.
Yeah.
But what we can do is be there for each other for the good times and the bad times.
Absolutely.
I'll be on your side forevermore. So.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. Now, Jensen Clifford.
Yes.
So, as we're wrapping up here, tell us, do you have anything going on?
I have nothing lined up at the moment, but at Jensen Buddy, JensenBuddy on Instagram. I do a lot of stuff there, but I do stand-up comedy around the city here or there. I recently participated in Yas Fest.
Oh, yes!
Yes! Which is the LGBTQIA+ comedy festival/competition.
I went to that.
And you went to it, and it was a ton of fun. Had a blast. I had a great time doing it. I felt really confident with what I did. I am waiting to find out to see if I go on to the next round.
I really hope you do, just because there were... Not because I'm your friend or anything, but...
it's because I did a good
job. You were probably one of the 6 or 7... funniest people there.
Oh, thank you.
So,
Thank you.
Does the trans woman who performed at the end, does she...
No, she was the headliner.
Okay, so
she's like
not...
the big deal. She's
so
like a real
comedian.
So then you
were one of the 5, 6 funniest people.
Oh, thank
We're going to take the trans lady out of that, and she doesn't count then?
She doesn't count.
But still love her, though. Trans people do count, though.
Oh, she didn't count the competition because she was like brought in as like a quote-unquote real comedian because the rest of us are trying super hard.
But she was really funny.
She was hysterical.
She
was really funny.
And I really liked that she got that guy up on stage and made him do push-ups.
My coworker, shout out to Raj. Yeah.
That was your real coworker?
Yeah, it's my real coworker. And when he's like a personal trainer, day job. I work in a gym. And so, yeah, my coworker Raj. It was great. It was funny.
That was
He's always
lovely.
Down for a good time. Lovely. It was hysterical.
Lovely. And so the Jensen Buddy is on Instagram. Do you have a Twitter?
And Twitter, Jensen Buddy. I rarely use it.
And if they are looking to mingle you singly.
Ooh. In the New York area, I am on Tinder. You can look on there. I am on other apps as well. Send me a message on Instagram though. It's the best way to just send me a message. I even check the oh, you don't follow this person. Like, you don't follow this person, but you can, like, the request, that's what it's called. I even check those. I read those. And, of course, just Jensen Clifford on Facebook.
All right, Jensen Clifford. We love having you so much.
I love being here.
Well, you're so much fun to talk to. I just can't sometimes. But, again, thank you for joining us on Reading the Book of Mormon with Ryan. If you've heard weird noises in the background, my husband is making dinner, and we would like to thank him for the food that he has prepared for us. But also, if you would like to participate in this podcast as a member of the LGBTQAI community, a SSA or Mixed Orientation Marriages, please let us know at Pioneer Projects 82, subject line, Reading the Book of Mormon with Ryan. So, again, thank you for joining us, and follow up with us more. So, next week, we are going to be reading chapter 2. Oh, do you know who chapter 2 is?
Who?
John.
The one and only John. Just John. The one and only John. Friend of the pod, John.
Yay. So, anyway. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining.
Have a great day.